Welcome back to a series of utmost importance, the series, the podcast. Well, thanks for listening. See you next time.
Oh, I let you always do, I'm your host, Neil, and then I always...
I'm one of your hosts, Neil.
And I'm the other host, Chris.
How you doing, Chris?
Doing all right.
What are we going to talk about today on this fine episode?
The Johnny Depp Amber Heard trials.
I mean, in a way, we're talking about that a little bit, sure.
No, we are going to dive deep today into the DC Universe.
Not all of the DC Universe, just the DCEU, the DC...
The Extended Universe.
The series of
okay
movies and one TV show that started in 2013 and ended, I guess, like a couple of weeks ago with the release of The Flash. Yeah. I had a question mark there because I don't think anyone really knows what this Aquaman sequel continuity is, but we'll get to that when we talk about them. Should we just do it chronologically or what?
I think that would probably be best. I think that would be good. That way we don't miss any. Everyone gets its proper due, especially Wonder Woman 1984.
We won't want to miss any of these fine movies.
No. They're masterpieces. And how to tank Warner Brothers.
It really is kind of a spectacular... it's almost been 10 years of this. Actually, I guess it's been more than 10 years. Because I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page for the DCEU, and Man of Steel was released on June 14th, 2013.
All right, 10 years and 2 days. As in, oh, because The Flash was released on the 16th of this year of June. But that's actually kind of amazing. I think before we get into it, I mean... DC, like, they had, because, you know, obviously these comic books were before my time, but they had kind of the stronghold on just the comic book fan base when it was DC versus Marvel,
right? Yeah,
because
I think in the 90s, Marvel was kind of not doing well financially. That's why they sold a bunch of their characters to other studios. They sold X-Men to Fox and Fantastic Four to Fox, and I think Daredevil to Fox also. And then... they sold some of the rights to the Hulk to Universal, and then they sold Spider-Man to Sony, and they have everything back now except for Spider-Man. DC had the Batman movies, the Michael Keaton, George Clooney, Val Kilmer series. They had the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. They had also the cartoons, the DC... I forget what it's called. I think it's the animated universe. Yeah, the DC animated universe. The ones on, like, the Batman cartoon, the Superman cartoon, the Justice League cartoon, all of those. So they were kind of more recognizable. And then they really fumbled the bag in the last 10 years.
It's kind of wild and amazing how that happens. I mean, yeah, I was just talking to my dad when he grew up, and it's like, no one really... I mean, people knew about Marvel, but it definitely didn't have as much of a stronghold. It didn't, it's like, DC had all their, you know, they had, you know, they owned the all, is it Warner's? Who owns all the intellectual property of DC Universe films?
Yeah, Warner Brothers.
Or anything, yeah. So, they didn't even have to kind of jump through the hoops that Marvel did to kind of create, you know, bring in Spider-Man, bring in a lot of the other characters that they had kind of previously sold off to the company. So, I don't know. I mean, this will be a fun episode, but I feel like we're just going to be more of a
eulogy.
Yeah. How did you mess this up this badly?
So the development of this back in 2008 to 2013, DC is coming off of the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy. which was well received, was sort of a down to earth take on Batman compared to the goofy, cartoony '90s ones. Because Batman Begins was 2005, Dark Knight was 2008, Dark Knight Rises was 2012, actually, I think, right?
You might be right. That is actually wild for some reason, but then I'm, like, looking at the time of, like, when they did Batman vs. Superman, and they switched the Batmans.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Man of Steel was actually only about a year after Dark Knight Rises, and Christopher Nolan is a producer on Man of Steel, and he, like, helped write the story.
So, partly.
That's
kidding.
Man of Steel was a good movie. Let's start there. I think Man of Steel was a good movie. I think in the time since... I think I just messed up my microphone a little bit. Can you hear me still? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
In the time since Man of Steel has come out, it has been critically reevaluated. And I think most people would say that it's a pretty good Superman movie now. What do you think about it?
I mean, I'm going to admit it's been years since I've seen it, but the lasting impressions I remember after watching that movie was, one, I actually thought it was an overall good movie. I think ultimately the criticism I've just kind of heard online about it was, how do you make Superman, like, beatable? Because he has just crazy amount of, like, powers. How do you beat someone who has, like, super speed, super strength, you know, X-ray vision? But, I mean, I thought they did a great job with it. The other thing, and this is kind of just, like, a, you know, not really topically related, but I was like, damn, they could do this. They could do a really good Dragon Ball Z film. And they have never made a Dragon Ball Z film, you know, that I remember ever. Ever. It was never made yet.
They probably could make a really good Dragon Ball Z film and then, you know, try to overextend themselves making a cinematic universe and make everyone lose interest really quick.
All right.
One of the criticisms of Man of Steel was that Superman is supposed to be optimistic and like a paragon. He's supposed to be the archetypal superhero. And they gave him the Dark Knight treatment in this, where they made it sort of, they tried to make it more grounded and tried to give him, you know, internal conflict. There's that scene where his dad is just like standing inside of a tornado and Superman can save him really easily. And the dad's like, no, no.
Oh.
And then the dad dies.
R.I.P. Yeah. Kevin Costner.
And so things like that people criticized. And then the end where he kills Zod.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people didn't like that. Superman killed Zod. But in the context of the movie and the story that they made, it makes sense for him to kill Zod. Basically, it was a conflict between, like, in terms of the critical reception, I think it was a conflict between what people wanted Superman to be and this interpretation that Zack Snyder was doing of what would Superman be if he was actually real.
Which I don't think is a bad take at all. I actually didn't know that was the initial. I do remember kind of the silliness, though, of that tornado scene.
It's not a perfect movie, definitely. But Henry Cavill is a great Superman.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that was another thing. He definitely, at least... I don't... Like, comparing the new Superman that they're going to be casting versus Henry... I don't think anyone's going to be Henry Cavill. He like, legit looks like Superman. His jaw is so chiseled. But yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess that was, you know, it wasn't just, you know, last impressions. It wasn't like an awful film in my opinion. I thought it was like a good film. I don't think it deserved, I guess, the backlash it did. But now that you tell me, you know, the reasons why you told me, I guess I could see why people would get kind of upset about that. So, you know, that was the first film, I guess, that kind of, you know, started this DC Extended Universe. And then 3 years later, I think 3 years later they just like, you're like, we're gonna really tank this thing, aren't we?
I think, yeah, 3 years later is when Zack Snyder, people were still sort of on board for the Zack Snyder interpretation of the DC universe, because he was supposed to be like the Kevin Feige of the DC stuff when this all started.
DC.
But then Man of Steel got sort of a timid
reviews.
Not timid, tepid reception. That's what I was looking for.
Reception.
And then everyone was really optimistic about Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. What did you think of this movie?
One, I thought it was, so I never read the comics, but I thought it was very interesting to start the second movie of this kind of universe, this era, with the conflict of, I guess what would you'd say is what was the most popular DC superhero in the movies at that point, or at least, you know, during my, like, childhood, Batman was that guy, and then having him fight Superman. I don't know, I just thought that was like a very quick turnaround of, you know, it was just so much more different than how Marvel did theirs. There wasn't like a development in their individual stories. Now, I know Batman had been told multiple times, so maybe that's why they chose not to do it. But I just found it very fascinating. They're like, all right, now we're going to have these two fight.
Wait, I thought they did do the Batman origin story again in this movie, like as a flashback. Did they not?
Oh, actually, I think you're right. There is, because of, you know, the pivotal scene where,
Martha.
You know, Batman's about this. Martha, how do you know that, Dave?
Which is amazing. What an amazing way to resolve this manufactured conflict that they created. I was watching a summary of this movie, because it's, I don't think I've seen it since 2016. I didn't love it, obviously. But I thought Ben Affleck was actually a really good Batman. I thought, again, I think Henry Cavill was a great Superman. I didn't mind how they introduced the other Justice League members in this movie. They like had the email attachments of the Flash and Cyborg and Wonder Woman. Well, actually, no, Wonder Woman was in this movie.
Oh, you're right. Is that where like Batman and Wonder Woman are like in his like lair and like he kind of like pops up? Oh yeah, there's all these supernatural people around the world too. Or did they like?
Yeah, Wonder Woman sends him an email or something, and he watches the origin stories of these other three, four heroes, because there's Aquaman, Cyborg, Flash. No, just three. Yeah.
Did it just have like the Flash, or did it have like their actual identities? The reason I'm asking is, could you imagine she's just like sending an email and she sends it to the wrong address? It's like, oh no.
I don't think it had their identities. I think it just had like evidence of their existence type of thing.
Ezra Miller.
The conflict of the movie of Batman v Superman was dumb.
I can't even remember.
Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor.
I do. That was, I feel like that was kind of like the, and I, you know, I don't know if he's been anything recently, but like I think he was on a pretty good track record after Social Network. And, like, after that role, I'm like, I don't recall him in anything.
Yeah, they basically made Lex Luthor, like, a Mark Zuckerberg-type supervillain.
But bald.
Well, he wasn't bald during parts of the movie. I think he only became bald at the end.
Yeah, like, as a, yeah.
And they had him create Doomsday out of Zod's body. And then they killed, with air quotes, Superman. In his second movie, they killed
Superman. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's what I forgot. I can't believe it. So I haven't seen that one in a while either, but does that happen in the end? They actually kill Superman.
They fake kill Superman. They kill him, and they bury him, and they act like he's dead, and then Justice League was going to come out the next year.
So it kind of was like, okay, well, he's probably not dead then.
But in the lead up to Justice League, they were still pretending like Superman was dead.
I think I remember reading something about that too, being like, you literally started this universe off with Superman, like origin story, and you
killed
literally
him in the second movie,
quote,
yeah,
killed him. Yeah, like what are we doing?
It wasn't great choices. And that, I think, is mostly Zack Snyder's fault. I liked his dedication to his vision of a realistic superhero universe, but it doesn't really work for the DC universe. And if you're going to do that, you probably need more time and more individual movies and more build-up. Like, this could have been, like, Superman's third appearance or something. Maybe there should have been, like, another Superman movie or a Batman movie between killing him. I don't know.
Or maybe just, like, a build-up of, like, internal conflict, the way that kind of, like, I keep using the Avengers and Marvel as, like, the kind of, obviously the comparison, but it's like,
those were the thing that they were trying to mimic at this time.
Exactly. Kind of like the, I remember reading, I think the Batman vs. Superman thing initially came out, and then, I was reading that, then that's why Civil War was made for Marvel. It wasn't like this came out after, but they kind of saw that internal conflict because they were going for it, and Marvel was like, okay, well, we need to do that. But it's funny because, I don't know, just my comparison initially was, they gave, like, Tony and Steve Rogers kind of, like, that conflict that's in terms of their leadership over, like, multiple movies. Here, they're just doing it immediately after One Origin Story, and it's like, okay. I do think that if they let this kind of, like, fester their, like, beef for maybe a little bit, a little longer, it maybe would have been a good choice. But I don't know why the decision was made to do this movie second.
My guess is that because, again, the Chris Nolan Dark Knight trilogy had just finished, I guess 4 years prior to this movie coming out, they felt like they didn't need another individual Batman movie yet. That's just my guess. Batman's motivations in this movie make sense of, like, oh, there's an alien who has unchecked power, and he, like, caused a lot of damage to the city and killed people through the collateral damage, even though he saved the world. That conflict kind of makes sense. But then completely at the drop of a hat, getting rid of all of those motivations because Superman has a mother named Martha. Is, like, there's no way to defend that choice. That's stupid.
The trauma goes that deep.
That's really stupid. Okay, wait, sorry, what were you about to say?
Yeah. No, I was just kind of making noises because it's just kind of like, I think that's all I can really say. It's just kind of like you see this movie and you're like, why? Why? Why that?
It wasn't well received. I have another question for you. The interpretation of Batman in this movie is an older, world-weary Batman who has... Robin is dead already in this universe. He's, like, towards the end of his career type of thing. This would have been a cool Batman to see in his prime, like a Ben Affleck Batman movie as a prequel, or I think they were going to make a Ben Affleck sequel after this, but after the Justice League experience, Ben Affleck didn't want to do anything with it, so his entire movie was scrapped. But what would you have thought about a Ben Affleck solo Batman movie?
Does he say, how do you like them apples, in the after he punches?
That would be great. That would be great.
I mean, I honestly don't know. I mean, I'm just going to obviously say, yeah, that would be interesting. Are they doing that with this next phase, or are they just not, are they getting, because I feel like I'd like a monitor, or, you said they're making a Batman-Robin movie eventually, right?
No, they already... Well, so the original Batman series starting in 1989 was Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, and Batman and Robin.
I guess now, like, a more modern-day interpretation of, like, just Batman with his Robin. Because I remember there was a build-up in the Christopher Nolan universe of, like, I think it was hinted at that Joseph Levin-Gordon was supposed to be like Robin or Nightcrawler or whoever,
Nightwing,
you know, the Robin equivalent was going to be. Oh no! All right, that's it, folks. We're done for today.
I think Nightwing, they were going to. They implied that in the Chris Nolan movies, and I imagine they're going to do like a more prime Batman with his whole extended Bat family in the next DC Cinematic Universe.
So I think in that regard, yeah, I think that would have been interesting to see then. I just think that the dynamic between those two hasn't really been explored during the films that I've watched. I know that sounds kind of, fair enough, very.
So when you what's interesting about the Robin implication in this movie is that there's a Robin suit with a bunch of ha ha ha's written on it, which implies that the Joker killed him.
Mm-hmm. Joker got.
Which is the Jared Leto Joker. So Jared Leto Joker killed the Robin in this universe.
That's really sad because Jared Leto is just a lot of things.
That's a great segue to the next movie, which is Suicide Squad, which came out August 5th, 2016. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think either of us have seen this.
No, I did not watch it. It wasn't out of like a, well, I don't know. I guess it was just, I saw the reviews on it. I think I'm more informed about all the like the craziness that surrounded it with Jared Leto as like, you know, as an actor. I heard he tried, yeah. You know, he tried to kind of emulate the whole Christian Bale method acting, but then he did it by sending, I think, his castmates used condoms, because he's like, yeah, that's what the Joker would do. That is literally the only thing I know about this film.
I watched the first 10-15 minutes of it this morning. It's fine. It's, you know, I've seen worse movies. I think they apparently changed a lot of it after initial screenings were really bad, and this was around the time they tried to make it more Marvel-esque, I think. They tried to make it more jokey. They tried to add more music. It was weird.
I see. I can't really say anything about the movie. I didn't watch it, but I just heard it was not great. The other thing I remember, the trailers, when Will Smith's like, are we some kind of Suicide Squad?
That was great. The DCEU has been great for some movie memes.
Yeah, no, it's...
Wait, what was I going to say?
I don't even, like, know. Like, because I don't even know what was explored, actually, in the movie either.
Well, I can tell you
either.
A plot summary of it.
Yeah.
This is based on memory of reading the Wikipedia article years ago and watching the pitch meeting, which, shout out to the pitch meeting YouTube channel. They are very fun recaps of movies that you don't necessarily want to see. So there's the premise of Suicide Squad in general is that there's a government agency run by a character named Amanda Waller, who is in the Suicide Squad and Peacemaker and stuff as well. And she has this group called Task Force X, which is made of supervillains that have a bomb in their head, and they have to do these black ops missions basically for the U.S. government to get time off their sentences. And if they disobey the parameters of the mission, their head explodes. So it's a good premise. I think people didn't like a lot about this movie. I think people liked Harley Quinn, played by Margot Robbie, and that's why she was in like six other movies. I think people thought Will Smith was fine. I don't think they liked the plot, which involved a character called Enchantress, who was basically like a 10,000-year-old demon or something like that.
I remember they casted Cara Delevingne,
yeah,
the
I don't
British
think she can act.
Model actress, socialite. I think she just has that gaunt face that makes her look like, I don't know, but yeah. She was also in that other movie.
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Yeah, and that bombed epically too.
I watched
so.
Like a half hour of that, and that was awful. I couldn't want to finish that. People didn't like the Joker in this movie, as we were saying. They didn't like Jared Leto's interpretation. They didn't like that he had damaged tattooed across his forehead, because that's stupid.
You know, as if you couldn't tell with the Joker, you know, he's a fully functioning human, totally well-adjusted, but the damage really gave it away.
I don't think they liked the character of Rick Flagg either, who is in The Suicide Squad.
Okay.
But yeah, he started in this movie, and he was kind of a boring character, and they made him a lot better in The Suicide Squad, so that, spoilers, when he dies, it hurts a lot more in The Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Batman was in this movie also, Ben Affleck, so technically the second DCEU appearance of Ben Affleck was in Suicide Squad. I don't think I have anything else.
All I know is it's kind of funny that Amanda Waller as a character, I think, has... If she's in, like, one or two more movies, she'll have more official staying power in the universe than actual Superman and OG, or Ben Affleck, yeah. Batman, right? Like, that's wild.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to say about this movie other than that it was so bad that they rebooted it as... Well, soft... Okay, reboot's the wrong word. They just ignored it and made another Suicide Squad movie that's a sequel to it that incorporates elements. Like, I guess the events of this movie still happened, but you never officially see the Jared Leto Joker again in continuity. You see him in sort of a side continuity, which we'll get to in a couple movies, but...
So, yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Oh. Should we move on to Wonder Woman?
I think so. I don't know anything else we can further extract from an already depleted movie of a...
Can't you see it's already dead? Alright.
Alright, Wonder Woman.
What do you think of Wonder Woman?
I think at that... Well, actually, I still think that it is... Obviously, one of the better. Will I say it's the best movie of this current phase of the DC Extended Universe? I don't know. I think so. Maybe it was because I hadn't revisited Man of Steel since it initially came out and I saw it in theaters. But I remember Wonder Woman came out, and I thought they just did it well, like, across the board. The one thing I found interesting, though, is... I forgot the guy's name in the actual who who's the Greek
Ares.
Villain? Ares, sorry. I thought it was great, except it was so funny that there's this dude with a mustache who turns out to be Ares, and then he just becomes super jacked in the end. I don't know. That was such a and then they didn't like change that, so he's just like this really jacked dude with a mustache.
I mean, people with mustaches are jacked.
That's true. That is true. I did have a mustache earlier, and then when I shaved it, I lost all my
muscle. Oh no! Did you shave it?
So, I did.
Oh no!
It's gone. I have it for my driver's license, though. It'll be there for 12 more years. Walking away, honestly, I did. In my opinion, I felt this was one of the better, at least, or actually even maybe the best movie that they had done at this point. You know, there's only so much you can get with Gal Gadot's acting.
Yeah.
She wasn't the best, but at the same time, I didn't think that it took away from the film entirely. I did like kind of her origin story. Obviously, that was pretty cool. Chris Pine as like the love interest. I guess it adds some more filler for her sequel, but I don't know if that was absolutely necessary.
Yeah, no, it was a good movie. She was her best in this movie, Gal Gadot. Every subsequent appearance by her was not as good as this. The story was good enough that you could sort of forgive the bad acting on her part. It was sort of like their version of Captain America, the First Avenger, in that it was a prequel set in, well, this was World War I rather than World War II, but yeah, all in all, I don't think I have a lot negative to say about this movie.
Yeah. I did really enjoy that one scene where, like, she just leads everybody across those, like...
Oh, no man's land? Between the trenches?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, and then she just, like, deflects the bullets with her wrist. So, I don't know, I thought that was pretty cool. Sorry, my audio... So I'm doing the voice recorder thing, and I think every time it goes to sleep, I can't tell if it stops recording
on your phone
or your... Yeah.
I don't think it does stop recording.
Okay. Well.
I think this was the high point of the DCEU.
I agree with that. I think at this point, I went from to kind of hopeful that DC had finally gotten their thing, you know, their stuff together, and we're gonna start putting out somewhat better movies. Do I think that ended up happening? I don't know. We'll talk about it. I mean, what about you? I feel like how did you feel about the movie overall?
Overall, I think it's one of the best ones in the DCEU. I think that if it... I hated Wonder Woman 1984, as I think a lot of people did.
It was so bad. It took everything they did well, I think.
Yeah.
With Wonder Woman, and then the CGI was just also really bad. Like, all her fighting scenes looked really corny. I mean, I remember, for going to, like, 1984, one, like, even down to the villain with Pedro Pascal, like, he just kind of, like, walks away at the end, which I thought was ridiculous. Then there was, who was the comedian actress?
Kristen Wiig,
who played... Yeah, like, I thought her reason for being a villain was, like, decent, but, like, just the CGI cat suit thingy that she had going on looked so bad. And then I think they were fighting. There's one scene where, like, Wonder Woman throws her, like, lasso of truth and, like, uses it to, like, pulley herself around like, just some column. And I'm like, this looks so bad. So, I don't know.
The reason I was bringing that up when we were talking about Wonder Woman, the first one, is the legacy. This is a great exercise in, does the legacy of a movie get tainted by a bad sequel?
It's a good question.
1984 was so bad. And it was weirdly rapey by having Chris Pine's dead character.
I see. Yeah, I remember that. I totally blocked that part out. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, she inhabits, she has Chris Pine's dead character inhabit the body of someone else, and then they have sex. But it's not Chris Pine.
And I'm pretty sure the guy that she inhabited, wasn't he, like, married at the end with kids? Like, wasn't that...
It's weird.
It is weird. Also a pretty bad... Who's
Patty
making
Jenkins.
The decisions up there?
That's why they scrapped her third sequel, and she lost a Star Wars movie, and I don't think they're having her in the new phase. This movie was so bad that it tanked Patty Jenkins from being involved in these movies anymore.
I think that's fair. I totally forgot about the whole Chris Pine implanted into some random Joe, and then she just...
I think without that, this would have been, just a bad sequel, like a moderately bad sequel. With this, it becomes, like, a really bad sequel.
Yeah. So let's move on.
All right. So jumping back to 2017, Wonder Woman comes out June 2nd, and then the Justice League comes out November 17th, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Justice League?
Oh, man. Well, first off, I don't remember much of it. I'm just going to keep... I guess my question is, did they... They introduced Aquaman.
Aquaman had already been introduced in a video clip in Batman v Superman. And then at the beginning of Justice League, Ben Affleck's Batman goes to find him.
Good. And he's, like, shirtless, right? On a fishing boat.
No, he's, like, he's in a fishing village. And he's sort of the protector of this village. and he's not into hanging out with Batman, and then he drinks whiskey while a wave like goes over him, and then he, yeah. The Aquaman stuff was fine.
All right. I mean, once again, I think this is just another example of how they kind of rushed this decision. I know that they kind of, I don't know. I knew of Cyborg through the Teen Titans show. I knew of just the Flash from the Flash CW show. So I don't know if like maybe that was their decision of basically including this like group dynamic so fast into the universe. Because I feel like if you're just coming at this, you know, fresh, you know, you're seeing all these characters added to the squad and you have no idea of their background, which is what exactly I thought. Marvel, once again, did a lot, you know, did pretty well. So, I don't know. I mean, I didn't think it was actually a bad movie. I know that they ended up reviving, like, they're getting, it's, that's not Doomsday. Is it Doomsday? No, it's, what's the name? Who is the bad, it's Dark Abomination? Side. Jesus. Okay. I don't even think Abomination. Okay.
Abomination is Darkseid. Hulk villain.
You could tell where my mind's at today.
Well, so Darkseid is the big bad that they are never going to get around to introducing fully now. And his minion was Steppenwolf in this movie.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Like I said, I don't. None of their villain. I mean, that villain, Steppenwolf, wasn't too memorable for me. You know, even though they kind of rushed the casting prior to the news coming out, I didn't think The Flash was a bad casting choice with Ezra. I didn't think Cyborg was a bad casting choice. Did he say Booyah?
So, yes, in the original theatrical version, he does. And that is a great segue into one of the things about this movie. So Justice League has two versions. There's one that is, the one that was released in theaters is technically directed by Zack Snyder, but really it was directed by Joss Whedon. Because of the reception to Batman v Superman and the overall dark tone of the universe, and the bad reception to Suicide Squad and the good reception to Wonder Woman. Well, I guess, although the Wonder Woman reception probably didn't impact this too much because it was the same year. But because of all that, they were trying to move Zack Snyder. They're trying to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. And then it didn't do so well, and they gave him his own like free cut that was released on HBO Max, and it's about like 3.5 hours long.
Yeah, but there's
long.
A whole lot more drama behind the scenes. So Zack Snyder's daughter killed herself.
I know that.
And then,
oh wow,
during the production of Justice League, and so he stepped away from the movie to like for appropriate reasons. Like, yeah, it's just a fucking superhero movie. But he left the movie, and when he left the movie, they used that to get Joss Whedon, who directed The Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron, to shadow direct this movie. And this was before all the stuff about Joss Whedon came out.
Everyone
hated Joss Whedon during this. He scrapped a bunch of Cyborg stuff.
The Wonder Woman decision,
yeah, he
I
had
remember.
The Flash fall into Wonder Woman's boobs, which is a scene he also did in Avengers 2 with Black Widow. It's weird. And everyone just didn't like Joss Whedon. Ben Affleck hated Joss Whedon. So after Justice League, he was like, this was such a horrible experience. I don't want to be Batman anymore. Which is, I think, partly why they scrapped the solo Ben Affleck Batman movie. And then the movie just didn't do well. So that was why the theatrical cut of Justice League was how it was.
It's kind of wild. So was he just overall a jerk to act? Even like I remember, I think Gal Gadot was refusing. She refused the scene, and they had to bring in a double. And I was reading that like Joss Whedon was potentially trying to like end her career because she didn't want to do that. I mean, I don't. I know that Josh Whedon had kind of some, like, you know, some staying power because he knocked it out of the park, I think, with Avengers 1, right? Like, it's fine, but I don't know if he was really untouchable at that point. So I feel like when you're going into a new project, tainting the relationship of all these, you know, major characters, and it sounds like I think he was also a nightmare to work with, just in the, you know, in the production.
Yeah, I think
staff
he's just
too,
an
right?
asshole, and no one liked him. But he had this reputation as a hit maker, and he had this good reputation in Hollywood. So it was just a shitty situation. And then it destroyed Ray Fisher's career. The
yes.
conflict that he had with DC after this, because he wanted an apology from Joss Whedon. Basically, they had internal investigations into Joss Whedon's conduct. Ray Fisher was, like, completely blacklisted from being in any future DC projects. That's why there's been no Cyborg since that.
That's pretty ridiculous. Wow. That is wild.
But this is the in-continuity story. Then there's the, what you were talking about earlier, the Zack Snyder Justice League cut, which was this whole big online movement we don't really need to get into, but it wouldn't have happened without the pandemic, because they weren't filming anything, and Zack Snyder basically said, if you give me money to finish the CGI on this, you can release it on HBO Max, and it'll be good for everyone. And then they did that.
Did you watch it?
I did.
In its entirety?
I liked it. It was
what
long.
What did you think? Okay.
It was still...
Yeah. Not
still
great,
wasn't great.
Or...
It was better than the theatrical one. And if you view it as sort of like a Zack Snyder DC trilogy of Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and this version of Justice League, it's all fine. They're all very tonally consistent.
Well, yeah. Okay.
It's a better third act. Overall, it's a better movie than the theatrical Justice League.
I see. Was there anything like significantly different? Like, did they add more, like, background to any of the characters? Did they just get rid of the silliness of, like? I mean, I assume in his cut, he took out the Wonder Woman falling into her cleavage.
I don't think Cyborg just says booyah in the Zack Snyder cut either. But there's It's a completely different third act. There's no random Russian family that the Flash is saving. It's a better movie, but
not much better.
Yeah, you can only do so much. You can only polish a turd so much, I think. But I'm glad it exists, because I never have to watch the original Justice League again. The ending of this, of the Zack Snyder Justice League, is a tease for a movie that now will never happen. There's a dream sequence where Batman wakes up in a world where Superman is evil and has destroyed everything.
Oh.
And there's like a ragtag group of heroes and villains left who are fighting him. And this is the only time that Ben Affleck's Batman interacts with Jared Leto's Joker. And Amber Heard is in it too, I think.
Oh, really? Dude, that is wild, actually. Is that the one where, like, are they going to try and pivot it where, like, you know, instead of Superman landing in, like, Kansas or America, he lands in Russia? Or is that different?
Oh, no, I think that's Red Sun. That's sort of like an Elseworlds story. Mm. But it was supposed to be... Yeah, it was supposed to be like this hypothetical future where Superman turns evil, and I think they're still fighting Darkseid somehow. Martian Manhunter cameos at the end, too. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He filmed that in his driveway, apparently. Zack Snyder.
I see.
Anyways, it's a spinoff to the main continuity, essentially. It's a footnote. But it's better than the one that came out.
I see. Interesting.
I guess technically there's a third version of Justice League also, which is Zack Snyder's Justice League Justice is Gray edition, which is a black and white cut.
Why? Oh, man. Yeah.
Anyways, Justice League kind of tanked the DCEU even more. But then there was an upswing with Aquaman in December 2018.
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't like Aquaman?
No, actually, I did. I enjoyed it. So, like I said, at this point, like, there's an upswing with Wonder Woman. Justice League, given, you know, how significant it is to the universe and it not being great, kind of brought down those expectations. And then Aquaman kind of revived a little bit. I actually thought, you know, Khal Drogo did a pretty decent job as, mm-hmm. as Aquaman. He's very, I don't know if he's like that in the comics, but he's very bro-y, but I think that's just how...
Jason Momoa.
If we ever don't remember. Jason Momoa, yeah. I don't know if maybe that's just, you know,
I think,
his personality.
I think that's sort of how his just, interpretation was. It's a good interpretation. Yeah. It makes him... Because they had to figure out a way to make Aquaman not suck. Because otherwise he just talks to fish and it's kind of lame. So the purpose of Jason Momoa was to make Aquaman not suck. And I think he did a good job with that.
Yeah. I think it was good, and then yeah, he was a fun character. I thought is it
Black
Manta?
Yeah,
is that Black Manta? I thought he was a pretty good villain, and it made sense too. Kind of how, I guess it kind of made sense. Like I remember it was like a flashback to when like Jason Momoa or Aquaman, like they were involved in something, obviously not good, and he ends up like killing him, right? His father. So Black Manta like takes his helmet.
Tamara Morrison is. The guy who plays Aquaman's dad. And you know what else he is?
Who else is he?
Jango Fett and Boba Fett. Yeah.
Oh, this guy. Yeah. I didn't know this was his actual name, to be honest. All right.
That's pretty Amber cool. Heard.
I mean, are we going to go into it?
That girl crazy.
Amber Heard, she, you know what, it's like, I don't even know. She was fine in the movie.
I agree.
She, you know, her movie performance, but just, wasn't it such a big thing that now, like, didn't Jason Momoa decide to sue her because she was such a There is something about, like, her being sued, someone related to Aquaman, because it was just such a bad, like, publicity stunt.
Jason Momoa sued Amber Heard?
No, let me see.
No, Johnny Depp sued
I don't think it was
Amber Heard.
Oh. Maybe
and Jason
not.
Jason Momoa, apparently, according to this Google search, fought to keep her in Aquaman 2.
Oh, well...
Which, you know, if you're going based strictly on this character, this actress did a good job on this character in the first movie, she was a big part of the first movie, and he thought it would be important to the second movie if she was still in it, whatever. Life is too short to give a shit about these people and their problems.
I want to know one thing. Do you think that she's going to be... Like, how are they going to write her out? Is she going to be eaten
by
a shark?
No, I think she's in it, but they really cut down her role. And I don't think they're going to, like, have her in any of the marketing.
Yeah.
For Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
So, yeah.
Shazam!
Aquaman.
April 5th, 2019.
I think this was because, like, you know, Shazam was. Did I see that in theaters?
Yeah, this is pre-pandemic.
Billy Batson, Shazam. Honestly, I thought it was. Okay, once again, this was another movie that I was like, okay, it was good. I liked it a lot. I didn't really know much of Shazam. Of all, like, the DC characters, I didn't really know who Shazam was. Because, I mean, I don't think he's even in, like, the animated series of the Justice League. So that's where I kind of get a lot of my familiarity with him. But, I mean, I don't know. I think Zach Levy did a pretty good job. I liked, I don't even know how to say his name, like, Jamon Hounsou, the wizard. Like, I thought he was pretty funny.
I always say Digimon, but I don't think that's actually
I like that better.
Yeah, he did a good job. He's also in the Marvel movies. I think he plays a couple of characters in the Marvel movies.
Digimon?
I like that. That's how I'm saying his name. Yeah, Shazam was a good movie. It was a like a lower stakes, not
Superman in a way. Or
I think he's supposed to be sort of in terms of powers on par with Superman. And then the end of this movie has a headless Superman cameo.
I did not watch. The post credits scene
Is Shazam in his school cafeteria, and then Superman comes in, but they couldn't get Henry Cavill, or they didn't know if Henry Cavill was still going to be Superman, and so they just had the body of Superman.
So this is kind of funny then, if we're going to talk about Shazam 2 next, but to that, I mean, let me think. I mean, it was good. It was a good movie.
Shazam or Shazam 2?
Honestly, Shazam 2 wasn't as good as the first one, in my opinion, but I don't think it was bad.
You know what? Let's break from the chronological approach to this, because I think talking about Shazam, Shazam 2, and Black Adam would be an interesting grouping.
Okay, that's fair. So Shazam 1 was probably fine as a movie. I think maybe it was just the characters or the actors and how they decided to play it, or I don't know if it was like a directorial, decision. But I kind of noticed starting with, maybe a little bit with Wonder Woman 1, they kind of started taking that Marvel tone towards their movies, where it wasn't as dark. I think it became a little bit more silly. I mean, obviously Aquaman, Jason Momoa, I don't know if that was obviously him being a bro or just naturally fit into him being kind of more goofy and lighthearted. But then even Shazam, I think him being a kid, it made sense. He's essentially just a kid in a grown man's body. And he just has, the natural goofiness that, comes along with it. Shazam 2, watched it last night. Did not actually think it deserved the negative criticism that it seemingly did on Rotten Tomatoes, but that is a whole different thing. I don't think it was certified fresh. I think it was. Let me look this up. Shazam 2. It received a 49% on Rotten Tomatoes, although the audience gave it an 86%.
I
so,
think more importantly, it didn't make that much money.
Yeah. So then going into it, I think part of that was, one, at that point, The Rock had been kind of throwing his weight around, had been like, I don't want to fight Shazam, right? Black Adam. He's like, let's me and Superman go one-on-one. So, I don't know, just basically that, I feel like that was the fallout of what happened with, Shazam 2. It's like, well, they're not going to have his big, bad, main villain. Why are we doing this?
Black Adam, The Rock. Yeah. Even in the first Shazam, there's a teaser for Black Adam because there's a seventh spot on the in the throne room or something for the other one, and Digimon's character says like, oh yeah, I made a bad choice before one time when I gave the power, and then he's in Black Adam also, I think, in the scene where Black Adam gets his powers. Because he's Black Adam is the Shazam main villain. He's the Joker to Shazam's Batman, and then The Rock didn't want to fight him. He just wanted to fight Superman so much that they got Henry Cavill back for a post-credit scene, and that's it. That's the last Henry Cavill appearance. Henry Cavill quits The Witcher because they said they're going to make another solo Henry Cavill Superman movie after this Black Adam teaser, and I think Amanda Waller is in this also, and one of the other characters from Suicide Squad.
I think she is.
From the Suicide Squad and Peacemaker. It was like supposed to be this reset, but still in continuity of the DCEU. The Rock really put all of his weight into this. There was a famous marketing campaign, which was very contrived and manufactured. It was the hierarchy of power in the DC universe is about to change. And it did not change. And no one liked this movie. It got bad reviews. It was very generic. It had an annoying child skateboarding character for no reason.
Oh, I do. Yeah, it's like...
kind of predictable. Yeah. I did like the Justice Society of America. I liked Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate. And I liked the other guy as Hawkman. Mm. They were good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mixed bag. Wow. It's a great metaphor for the DCEU because it's a mixed bag of a movie. It had good elements and bad elements. But I think everyone can agree that one of the worst elements was The Rock.
And, yeah. It's kind of amazing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they had already casted him and already filmed the movie. Like, did he make this decision of only wanting to fight Superman after it had been filmed? Or is it just, like, too much of a wrench in the plans for them to recast someone as big as The Rock at that point?
Because he'd been trying to make a Black Adam movie for, like, 10 years at this point. And
I see.
Yeah,
is it just Adam, or is it Black Adam?
I think the character's name is Black Adam. In the comics, I think he's white.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, he didn't want Shazam. He didn't want to fight Shazam. He didn't want Shazam in this movie. When Shazam Fury of the Gods mm-hmm. subsequently bombed, Zach Levy got mad at The Rock. It made everyone look bad. Also, Zach Levy's an anti-vaxxer, apparently.
I did not know that.
It's weird.
You know, the DC Universe is really just hitting it out of the park with all these casting decisions, too. But, that being said, what you were mentioning about the first Shazam, because I actually missed that post-credit scene with the headless Superman, I don't know if there was, like, a hint to that. So, in Shazam 2, it's pretty funny, because in the beginning, there's, like, a scene of, like, Shazam on a date with what's supposed to be Wonder Woman, but they show her, like, armor, but they never show her face. And then right when you're about to see her face, it's actually just, you know, the wizard or Digimon just yelling. So it's like a really funny scene. But then at the very end of the movie, they actually get Gal Gadot Wonder Woman like to show, which I thought was pretty funny. And their post-credit scene was actually pretty interesting. It was a tie-in to Peacemaker where the two characters... what is her name? Amelia mm-hmm. Harcourt and the tall guy with glasses who Peacemaker always makes fun of. I think it's Konamos. Yeah. It's just a scene of them two talking, saying, yeah, Amanda wants us to like go find this guy. He apparently is like really legit, and it's just Shazam goofing around, like shooting glass bottles with electricity, and they're like, okay, never mind, this guy's kind of an idiot. But yeah, I don't know. I thought those are the two things I thought were pretty interesting and kind of funny. Yeah, just always trying to tie things in, but no substance whatsoever behind
them. I'm reading
them
the Wikipedia summary on that, and it says that Amelia Harcourt and John Economos leave also after Billy Batson calls out the Justice Society of America for having too similar of a name to the Justice League.
Oh yeah, he does.
Yeah, I think. I haven't seen the second Shazam movie. I probably will at some point because I liked the first one. A couple of things from this movie that I wanted to ask about. I saw the first couple of minutes, and in this movie, there's a museum guide played by the same actor as the janitor from Peacemaker.
Yeah, it is him. He does in the very beginning. He's like a museum curator, and he's showing. Yeah, that's a good question.
And then,
I don't know if they actually officially gave him a name.
The other question I had is Lucy Liu is in this, and she plays a villain. I just finished Peacemaker last night, and the Peacemaker's dad, the racist character, calls an Asian cop at one point Lucy Liu.
That's funny.
So that implies that there is a Lucy Liu in this universe also.
Lucy Liu, she's canon. Well, she didn't do a great job. I don't know. The villains in this were interesting too. They're like, I don't even remember. You could tell how much I paid attention to the movie when I was watching it. It's just like Helen Mirren, Lucy Liu, and I don't even remember. I don't even know. It was a brand new actress. It was an interesting movie because it wasn't, you know, obviously, you know, Shazam is the main focus or what one of the big characters, but it focused on his, like, I guess, what do you call those?
His family? The Shazamly?
What do you... Yeah, his Shazamly. That guy, like, Freddie Freeman. It was a very, like, huge focus on him. Kind of like his, you know, there's this scene where he kind of, like, develops feelings for one of, you know, that's one of the twists in the movie, is he develops feelings for this, one of the villain, the... villains. Her name's Anthea, and then, you know, it's kind of like a romantic relationship that develops there, and then in the end she finds out, oh my god, like, you're also one of the Shazam superheroes, and he finds out, oh my god, you're also one of the bad sisters, and then in the end,
she just turns good.
They touch on that. There's like a scene where he's like, oh, I'm like 6,000 years old, and then they kiss, and then there's another scene where, you know, Zach Levy and Gal Gadot are talking, and then the dad, the foster home dad's like, what is up with our boys and older women? Like,
that's weird.
So, yeah. Lucy Liu, what was the last thing she's been in besides this movie?
Elementary, the TV show. She plays Watson.
Oh, wait. See. Well,
I think... I don't think I have anything else to say about Shazam, Black Adam, or Shazam 2. Do you?
No. I think it was a movie.
Let's jump back then. I think there's four projects left to touch on. Two of them are sort of related. So the one pre-pandemic, Birds of Prey, and Birds of Prey, parentheses, and The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, end parentheses, came out February 2020. This you haven't seen, right?
I haven't at all. Is it supposed to be, just based off the title, somewhat similar to Harley Quinn on HBO Max, the animated series? I'm imagining the Emancipation suggesting she's like, all right, Joker, see you later.
Joker's not even in this movie. It's just about...
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. The Joker appears in the film through animated special effects during a flashback sequence and the combined use of an archived back shot of Jared Leto from Suicide Squad and rock musician Johnny Goth doubling for Leto in a brief flashback sequence. These techniques were used because Leto was not available during filming. But yeah, it's sort of just about her, like, journey to become a more...
independent.
It was fine. I don't think it made that much money either. It has other characters. It has the Huntress. It has Black Canary. And a couple other people. Ewan McGregor is the bad guy. He's the Black Mask.
Oh.
Yeah, overall it was like a fine movie. I don't think it got great reviews. No, actually, you know, it got 79%. I think it was one of those ones that was a fine movie, but combined with the bad reception to Suicide Squad before this, and also the fact that the pandemic was... this was right at the start. People were perhaps a little hesitant about going out to movie theaters. And it didn't...
The actress that played Black Canary, Journey Smollett, is the brother of Jussie Smollett.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, that name is...
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. But Mary Elizabeth Winstead's in it? Okay. I mean, you know, any lasting thoughts from it? Good,
No, it was
bad,
just sort of one of like, those ones
did
that...
It,
It's like a movie I saw 3 years ago at this point. I don't think I remember it too much. It wasn't that memorable. It's one of those ones that probably didn't need to get made.
No. I'm going to be honest. Every movie we've talked about so far, I feel like that's the general... I mean, I don't know. Wonder Woman and Aquaman were good, but like the general consensus of me is like, yeah, they were movies that were made in DC, but there's no... I feel like the most memorable things are the things that were happening off
which
camera.
Yeah, which is bad. You don't want that to be the story behind your movies.
So,
There were a couple of couple of projects that I think are worthwhile and like feel like they had a reason to be made. I like, which I'll just say so I don't forget them. But Man of Steel, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Shazam, The Suicide Squad, and Peacemaker, I think are projects that are worth existing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You want to jump to The Suicide Squad?
Second one?
August
Let's 5th, do it.
2021.
And is this the first project that James Gunn is now in on, or is Peacemaker already made by this point?
No, no. Like, this, or has this he started is, developing? He makes this movie, so he gets fired by DC, by Marvel
because
of old tweets.
Of the Twitter
and the far right. So he gets fired by Marvel. He goes to DC. He makes the Suicide Squad. During the process of making the Suicide Squad and working with John Cena, he comes up with this idea for the Peacemaker show. And then he makes the Peacemaker show. And he, I think, writes and directs most of the episodes of that.
That makes it... Because John Cena's character, Peacemaker, is actually like... Yeah, that's how he got introduced in this. Because he's the one who kills Rick Flagg in the end.
Yes, which is a big part of the show also.
Yeah. They do give him a lot of gripe about that, yeah. Overall, I mean, I thought... I didn't see the first Suicide Squad, so I can't be like, oh, yeah, it's better, but I think it's better. Just across the board from the reception, I've heard. Yeah. I thought that recasting Will Smith for Idris Elba...
I don't think it's a recasting, it's just a different character. Yeah.
Oh, it's a different character. Okay. I thought it was pretty interesting. I liked the overall squad. I liked the beginning, actually, of the movie where I think they did have some of the old characters from the previous Suicide Squad, but they all end up, like, dying.
Yeah, they had a Suicide Squad where they all died.
Yeah. So I thought, I don't know, I thought it kind of, like, set the tone again. It was, like, a good, fun movie. It was goofy, too, like, especially the beginning where they're, like, storming the beach and it's getting, like, wiped out. The giant kaiju thing too was pretty funny. It's just like a giant starfish.
Yes. He's Starro. He's like a major comics character.
Oh.
Yeah.
Starro.
it's just a fun, goofy movie. And I don't think it made that much money either, but it was sort of a pandemic movie and it came out on HBO Max at the same time. But I think that the higher ups must have liked it enough because they gave him a spinoff show and they hired him as a co-CEO of DC.
It'll be interesting. And he's now, I think, engaged to Amelia Harcourt.
Yeah,
I think they're married now. Everything's coming up Jan's gun.
It probably really pisses off the far right troll who got him fired from Guardians 3 that it was like such a big career boost for him.
It's like, yeah. Wow. But, I mean, yeah, I remember watching the HBO Max. It was fine. It was a good movie. It was fun. Not much to say about it beyond that. Was there a post-credit scene to it?
I think probably. Let me just double check. In a mid-credit scene, it's revealed that Weasel, one of the first team's members who was believed to be dead after drowning, is still alive. In a post-credit scene, Waller punishes her subordinates by assigning them to a new mission with Peacemaker, who is recovering in a hospital. So that's the lead-in to the Peacemaker show.
I see Peacemaker. There's a giant shark in this movie. I forgot that. It was also
King
Hammerhead
shark.
Or whatever. King Shark, whatever.
This
is a
pretty
cool
movie. I forgot about King Shark.
Yeah. Polka Dot Man
Rat
was funny
Catcher
too.
2.
Yeah. So I think overall it was a good, yeah. It was a good movie. Which then again, I guess, leads us into Peacemaker. Yeah. And you said you just finished it yesterday, right?
So prior to yesterday, I had seen 3 episodes in 2021 when it came out, I think, or 2022. And it was good, and I don't remember why I didn't finish it. I think I was just busy. So I watched the last 5 episodes yesterday.
All
it
right.
It was really good. It's John Cena was fun. The storyline was good. I don't know. Are you watching Secret Invasion right now on Marvel or on Disney?
You know, I'm not. I probably should, but I'm not.
It's
Is it good?
Right. It's fine. This show did Secret Invasion, I think, better than Marvel is doing, because there's a secret alien invasion.
That's true.
A couple of notes I made while watching the show were, I think we already touched on some of them, the janitor, the Lucy Liu, and this felt like a show that wouldn't exist. They wanted to make this show. They had a story to tell about like the arc for Peacemaker and this alien invasion plot, and that is why the show exists, I think. It's not because someone was like...
Else was doing it.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, we really need to make a show about this obscure comics character, so come up with a story. It was like the story existed, and that's why they made the show, and I think that's why it's good. It's like the opposite of what happened with Kenobi. Someone was like, oh, let's make a show based on Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then they really struggled to make up a story that made sense for that.
I see. Oh, that was such a letdown.
It was, yeah, overall, good show. I think there's going to be a season 2.
I think this also has a funny kind of like, I don't know if it's like an end post credits
in the last
like
episode.
Just the end of the show. Where he keeps saying that I think Aquaman like slept with a fish.
Yeah, one of the running jokes is that Aquaman fucks fishes. And then they have Jason Momoa and Ezra Miller cameo in the last episode. You know, I was reading something about this yesterday, and I was curious because they have Wonder Woman in darkness and they have Superman in darkness. And apparently there was a reason for why they did that, but they couldn't say what it was. My theory is that this show and the Suicide Squad are going to be incorporated into the new DCU continuity because James Gunn is running that.
I see.
And so...
So you think they kind of already knew they didn't want to bring... Or at least, not they didn't want to bring, but maybe... Did they let Henry Cavill go, or did Henry Cavill end up...
They fired
quitting?
Him, because he... After the Black Adam cameo, he thought he was going to make another Superman movie, but they canceled that and fired him. Yeah, they really screwed
That's
him over.
Wild. Now... Well, I guess we can talk about that with The Flash, but, is Wonder Woman slated to come back based off of her appearance in The Flash? Because you could definitely tell it was, like, a CGI'd face.
In The Flash?
Yeah, she was in The Flash. Remember they were at the bridge scene, and he's about to, like...
Was she CGI'd? I thought she was in there.
Fall... I mean, she might have been in there. It just looked really... Maybe it was just really badly done, so I thought, like okay.
I think... well, yeah, let's just go on to The Flash then, because that's an interesting topic. I don't think there's anything left to say about the Suicide Squad or Peacemaker, yeah?
No, I thought, okay. No. Just James Gunn's introduction. Finally.
So The Flash is the last movie in the DCEU. Wonder Woman was... I think Gal Gadot filmed for it. I don't think they know if she's coming back as Wonder Woman, and the new continuity is going to be called the DCU. So I don't know if she's going to be in the DCU. I don't know if Jason Momoa is going to be in the DCU. I think the ending of The Flash implies that he is, because he cameos in it at the end, and then also Aquaman 2 comes out at the end of this year. And they haven't flat out said that it's not in the new continuity. I think it's going to basically be a soft reboot where some of the stuff from from the old movies still happened. Like maybe Aquaman 1 still happened, or maybe they're just saying that so people have a reason to go see Aquaman 2. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Aquaman was one of the better projects, so I don't think getting rid of it entirely would be, you know, completely out of the question. But
The Flash, Ezra Miller, the most anticipated movie of 2023.
What an unlucky...
Not Oppenheimer.
What an unlucky series of events for Warner Brothers leading up to this movie.
I mean, the wildest thing is I remember... I don't think the publicity around all the stuff he was doing outside of the movies was... I felt like it didn't really catch on until maybe like the, a year prior to its release. But even in the pandemic, I do remember seeing like some video of Ezra Miller. Like there's like this fan like saying like, "Oh, can I take a photo or something?" And he like literally like kind of grabs her neck and like kind of it doesn't like push her, it kind of like forces her to the ground. And I remember being like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, I think Ezra punched a fan in Iceland. Then broke into an apartment or something in Hawaii and stole some passports and terrorized a family and then kidnapped a youth and was grooming them on a weed farm in Vermont. And then there was a warrant out for their arrest. And then in August of 2022, Warner Brothers basically forced them to go to a mental health retreat or something and didn't allow them to do any press. And then they appeared at the red carpet for the Flash movie and that was it.
That is
Michael
wild.
Keaton was in this movie. He was good.
He was good.
He couldn't do any press for it because he was filming Beetlejuice 2.
Oh, was he in Beetlejuice 1?
I guess he was Beetlejuice. Yeah.
He was? Oh, my God. Well, I haven't seen that movie in a while either, but dang. Talk about a career revival, though, but whatever. It's not about Michael Keaton. Should be.
All the trailers were about Michael Keaton.
He was good. Yeah. Kal-El. Or I guess Kal-El's cousin.
Supergirl.
Kal-El. Or I don't know.
She was good.
She was good.
You know what? It was a good movie. It was fine.
I didn't think it was outright horrible. I think you could just say maybe the CGI at certain point. Overall, it could have been done better. I know that some of the scenes when he's running is pretty funny, and obviously you can't see it because this isn't filmed, but it just looks really funny like when he's skating.
Immediately after that came out, the director defended the CGI. He said that was intentional to show what it looked like from the Flash's perspective. So, I guess that was a choice, but it was a bad choice.
No, I don't know. You didn't really have to... It's like something I would say, but like, why'd you mess this up? Like, I don't know. I think the most fun part of the movie was... ultimately, Michael Keaton, and I did like the ending when you start seeing the different universes, like, colliding, and you have a great shot of Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I didn't... some people didn't... Well, I guess... So there's a George Reeves cameo, and he was the first Superman before Christopher Reeves.
Wait, George? No, there's a Christopher George Reeves also. Or George Reeves? Is that his father?
Actually,
or?
I don't know if they're related.
Coincidental.
George Reeves is an American actor best known for portraying Superman in... The Adventures of Superman TV show from 1952 to 1958. He died at age 45 from a gunshot. There's a movie called Hollywoodland with Ben Affleck. This is about the death of George Reeves, I think.
Oh, wow.
I don't think he's related to Christopher Reeves. Let me Google that. Is George Reeves related to Christopher Reeves? No. And also, Reeves isn't George's original name. He was born George Kiefer Brewer. But yeah, so Christopher Reeves, also digitally resurrected for a cameo with Supergirl from the 80s. And then Nick Cage, Superman, also was in this.
Then they did like that weird flashback with the Flash when he looked kind of funny.
You know what's weird?
They
had all these Supermen. They didn't have Henry Cavill.
No.
Weird.
Well, all the signs are pointing.
So they filmed this movie. They filmed then three different versions of the ending where the Flash is in front of the courtroom after changing continuity to save his dad. They filmed one with Michael Keaton and Supergirl from this movie, implying that this was the new continuity where Michael Keaton was going to be Batman because Ben Affleck was always going to be out after this. And Supergirl was going to be in it. They scrapped that. Then they filmed one where Henry Cavill and Gal Gadot were in front of the courtroom. Then, that was after the Black Adam cameo when they were trying to set Henry Cavill back up as the Superman for this universe. Then James Gunn and Peter Safran took over DC Studios, fired Henry Cavill, and they got George Clooney for the cameo. They filmed that this January, 2023, after all of the Ezra Miller stuff. So that was actually the most recent thing shot by Ezra Miller for this movie with George Clooney.
How do you feel... Okay, go on, sorry.
What was your question?
I was saying, how do you feel... Well, I guess... Well, let me know your opinion. So, I guess because they're not probably going to, obviously, going to continue with Ezra Miller as the Flash, so maybe it would have been, like, too tied into that universe that it wouldn't make sense without bringing Ezra back. But how do you feel about them doing that George Clooney cameo? I know he was Batman in the past versus, like, I thought, and I guess now I think about it, it doesn't really make as much sense if they made it Robert Pattinson.
So, I don't know. I thought that was what they were going to do. They've said that the Robert Pattinson Batman movies are just going to be a separate, like, Elseworlds continuity.
They need to stop doing that.
I don't know. They're going to keep doing that, I think. I think that's, like, one of the things that they're going to keep doing, because the Joker movie is its own continuity. There's going to be a sequel to the Joker movie coming out soon with Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn.
Ooh,
yeah,
that
and
might
apparently
be
it's a musical. There's a spin-off of the Robert Pattinson, Matt Reeves Batman movies as a TV show about Colin Farrell's Penguin. Yeah.
Oh, that would be good.
So they're doing all that stuff that's separate from whatever the main continuity is going to be. I think that's not bad.
I guess if I am, like, Robert Pattinson, I don't know, if I'm just an actual, like, creative actor trying to maintain his career... point of view, like, maybe not attaching your name to something that hasn't been fully proven yet as a good thing. I mean, I don't know. I think James Gunn is probably the first step in the right direction, but, like, I don't know if I'm, like... Because Robert Pattinson's a pretty good actor. I mean, they got a lot of good actors in that movie, too. They got Paul Dano. They got... oh, my God. You just
Colin
said his
Farrell.
Name, too. Whoever plays the Penguin. Colin Farrell. Like, these are all, like, big-name actors.
Yeah.
And actors, or, so...
I get why they want to keep those movies separate. I think it's a grounded... It's sort of like a... I don't know how you felt when you watched The Batman, but I felt like it was kind of just like watching the same movie as Batman Begins. So I think it's a more grounded take that doesn't necessarily fit in with the big superhero world.
Like,
so maybe that's why they wanted to keep it separate. But also, they're going to have a new Batman... for the DCU, so maybe they wanted to just leave the slate open. But that's confusing then, because if they were gonna do that, why have George Clooney cameo? It just confuses everything. They had a perfect opportunity to just reset the continuity, but they didn't do that. So I don't know what the hell they're doing. I think it's a fool's exercise to try to make sense of the DC continuity going forward. My guess is that Aquaman is going to still be in continuity. My guess is that the Suicide Squad and Peacemaker are going to be in continuity because there's a show where Amanda Waller is going to be the star called Waller, and I think they're still having Viola Davis in it. So it's more of a soft reboot of continuity, I think. Which is annoying. Okay. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it can't get any worse than they've already done, right?
They were going to have Michael Keaton be the main Batman again going forward. They that was when the original ending of The Flash had Michael Keaton and Supergirl again. They they filmed a whole Batgirl movie where Michael Keaton was in it also.
Oh my god, I totally forgot about the Batgirl cancellation.
Canceled that. That was before James Gunn took over. That was like a business decision, and also apparently the movie wasn't great. But it had Brendan Fraser as the villain. Yeah.
Oh, man, that would have been cool.
I wish that we could have seen it. I don't know. We'll never see it.
I also just realized, Michael Keaton's been in two projects where they like basically tease him as the next thing, because wasn't he supposed to be Vulture?
Yeah.
I mean, he was Vulture, but with Amazing Spider-Man or something like that, and that just never came to fruition.
No, so he was Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming, then he cameoed as Vulture in Morbius.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
And, I don't know, they...
Jared Leto strikes again.
They might still do a Sinister Six thing down the line, but it's unclear. They also were potentially talking about doing a Batman Beyond movie with Michael Keaton as the original Batman, but that's not going to happen now. Yeah, overall, they had a lot of plans that the Black Adam not making any money and now the Flash not making any money really tanked. I think if Black Adam had been successful, they would have kept going with the DCEU. They just would have maybe used the Flash to have a different Batman, because Henry Cavill was back at that point as Superman.
I see. I mean, yeah. Whatever. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see what James Gunn does with it. I think, obviously, they're very, very long overdue for...
A course correction.
Just a well put together, yeah. So,
but I think a clean break would have been better. Yeah. Like, if they're gonna recast Superman, I think they should recast everyone.
Instead of having some people from the old.
Yeah, like I don't think Gal Gadot should be Wonder Woman. There's rumors that she still might be, but it's not definite. I don't think Jason Momoa should be Aquaman, but I think they're stuck because they have Aquaman 2 coming out. So maybe they're not actually planning on having him be Aquaman.
Doing a full.
But I don't know. Blue Beetle comes out this year, and apparently that can be in continuity with the DCU.
I think they actually, Gunn had mentioned, like, it's not, he's not really overseeing that project, but he's still going to include it in the actual first, iteration of the DCU. I mean, I don't know, the trailer looks pretty good.
It looks fine.
You know, George Lopez is in
now
it.
I'll see it.
You know, great guy.
It's one of those ones that I'll watch when it comes out at home. I don't need to go to the theaters to see that.
Yeah.
I think that's everything. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about in the DCEU?
Ah, man, I... No. I think just like anything, any like retrospective on the whole thing is just kind of like, yeah, it existed. It wasn't great. There were some I don't know if I'd call them gems, but there's some good parts to it that, like, you know, if they move forward with them, cool. If they don't have them, also cool. It's just let's just get a good DC universe.
How would you rank the movies? And well, the movies and the
film?
Okay. Peacemaker. There's and just. Just as a reminder, there's Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, Justice League, Aquaman, Shazam, Birds of Prey, Wonder Woman 1984, Zack Snyder's Justice League, The Suicide Squad, Peacemaker, Black Adam, Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
So
the
do you
Flash.
Want to do like a
you know
top
what? Yeah, that's
three
a lot of
or
to rank. Why don't you just do your top three?
I could do my top three and my, well, actually, top three, bottom three. Top three, I would still put Peacemaker as one. I thought it was a fun show. I don't know. I really liked it a lot. Jason Cena was pretty funny. And then I put Wonder Woman up there, and I would put... I'd put Aquaman. I don't think Shazam 1 was good enough for it to break into the top three. For my bottom three, starting with...
It has to be ones that you've seen.
This is tough. Okay. I would probably say Batman vs. Superman as third worst. Second worst would probably be... I realize I also did not include The Suicide Squad. No, whatever. I already made my decision. I would say Black Adam as second worst, and then the worst, in my opinion, was Wonder Woman 1984, because that was just a big pile of poo, and I don't know.
I think for my bottom three, I think I would agree with you. What did you have as your third worst one?
I can't believe I just kind of forgot that. I felt like I said it was... No, Black Adam was my second worst. Third worst was... God, I have a horrible
Batman
memory.
Superman?
Yes. Sorry, it was.
I'm going to say that my third worst is Black Adam. My second worst is Justice League. You know, I want to clarify the theatrical Justice League. The Justice League. Because I kind of liked the Zack Snyder one comparatively. And the absolute worst was 1984. Wonder Woman 1984. My top three, I'm going to go with... The Suicide Squad is number one. Peacemaker is number two, and Aquaman is number three.
Oh, nice. Okay, nice.
The other thing that we sometimes ask, we haven't for a while, because if you had to combine two of these movies or two of these projects, I'll say, to make the best product, what would you combine?
I don't know. How do you combine? Why don't I just, I guess, take my top two? No, that would make sense. Do you have, you can go if you have yours off the top of your head. I'm kind of just, looking at all of my choices. I mean, it wouldn't be good, but I guess seeing Shazam and actual Black Adams,
oh,
because
that's a great
they
choice.
Didn't
that's
do
a great
that.
Choice.
Like, you know, I feel like that kind of would have been it. Other than that,
that's a good answer.
Yeah, I don't know. Other than that, I guess a Superman, Wonder Woman thing. I don't know.
I'm gonna go with The Suicide Squad and... Actually, no, The Suicide Squad I'm going to leave alone because I don't think it really needs to mesh with anything. I'm going to go with Aquaman and... Yeah, I'll go with Aquaman and Peacemaker because Aquaman's already in Peacemaker and I think it would be interesting if they have those two characters interact in a... in an actual show.
That's good. Just because of the riffing that Peacemaker constantly does on everyone else.
And Jason Momoa is a fun guy. There are rumors that if he's not Aquaman in the DCU, he'll be Lobo.
Oh, he's like kind of...
he's like an intergalactic bounty hunter, basically.
Isn't he like the Marvel's equivalent of Kraven Manhunter or whatever like that? Or Kraven the...
No, because he's like a space pirate type of guy.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's...
And he kind of looks like Jason Momoa anyways, if you look up a picture of
Lobo.
All
right, well. Plenty of time.
Oh, yeah, look at the Wikipedia page for Lobo.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the hair's there.
Okay, any recommendations then? I think that's the last thing, and then we're done.
recommendations for which
no anything to watch. Any it can be completely unrelated.
Oh, I forgot.
I'm gonna recommend Final Fantasy 16.
Go on.
I haven't beaten it, so I don't know what else to say, but it's a fun game. They had everybody watch all of Game of Thrones before they started development of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good storyline so far. Fun gameplay. It's on PS5.
With it, because I think I'm playing it wrong, and I haven't actually revisited it in like a week. I've been playing a lot of Diablo, which I'm not really recommending. But is it very much like button smashing square, 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 or do you take that? Because I think I asked you, do you take that ring off that allows you to do like different combos?
I don't have the combo ring on. I have the ring that has the dog auto attack for you. And mm-hmm. the one that gives you a longer timer for evading.
Okay. But
have you gotten to the point in the story? Oh, I don't want to spoil anything for you.
I got to the point where you meet Cid.
Oh.
And you're, like, seeing his like, yeah. No, I'm, like, very early in the game. I just found out that, well, I haven't played so long, I forgot the main character's name.
Main
character's
Clive.
Clive and Wyvern are the same two people. Like, that's how early I am, right?
Maybe. But, so, there's some stuff that happens pretty soon in the game that really expands the gameplay. So I don't want to say too much about that, but you should play it, because it really opens up a lot of different combat stuff.
Alright. Well, I'll do that then. Yeah, I'll do that.
Any recommendations on your end?
Looking around. Yeah, REI socks. They're great. They're cushiony. And for some reason, they're really good at, you know, being odorless at
the end
of the day.
Those are good. That's a solid recommendation.
So
I might pick some up.
So if you like hiking and you got stinky feet, go for those. Go for them.
All right. Well, that's our Requiem for DC Extended Universe. Thanks for listening, and tune in next time.
Yep. Bye.